But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
A number of years back, I read a story about a family that was on a boat, a husband and wife and their little baby girl, on a boat crossing the ocean. They were traveling crossing the ocean on a boat that would take 10 days or 2 weeks for them to get to their destination. There were 200 people on this boat. One day, there was a very serious problem, and the boat began to slowly sink. I don't know if they hit something or if there was some type of an explosion, but the problem was that the boat was slowly sinking, and there was nothing they could do to stop it. The captain gathered everyone on the deck and explained the situation. He said that they had lifeboats for only 100 people, and since there were 200 passengers, then 100 people would not be able to get on a lifeboat. He said that he wanted to be fair and that they were going to put 200 pieces of paper in a hat with a number on each paper from 1 to 200. Each person was going to draw out a piece of paper with a number on it. Those with even numbers, such as 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, would have a place in the lifeboat. The others with uneven numbers would not. Everyone agreed that this was fair. They formed a line on the deck of the boat, and each person would draw out his number. It came the husband's turn to draw, and he pulled out his piece of paper, and the number was an even number. He had a place in the lifeboat. His wife was very nervous as she drew out her paper. When she opened it, the number was not an even number. She didn't have a place in the lifeboat. She would have to go down with the sinking ship. She began to cry and to weep. At that moment, her husband put his piece of paper in her hand, and he took her piece of paper. He was going to take her place and die in her place. He was giving her his place in the lifeboat. He kissed her and kissed the baby in her arms, and he told her, "When our baby gets 12 years old, I want you to explain to her why Daddy was not there." The wife and the baby were lowered down into the lifeboat and pushed away from the sinking ship. The ship slowly sank and the husband perished. Years went by, and when the girl turned 12, her mother told her the story of what happened that day and how her husband and the girl's father gave his life to save her mother. When she told her the story, the girl removed a picture of her father from the wall and hugged it and said, "Oh, Daddy, how much you loved us and gave yourself for us." The story makes me think of the Apostle Paul almost 2,000 years ago when he said, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." You see, the husband gave his life to save his wife, but Jesus gave his life for sinners. We read in Romans 5, 6 in the Bible that he died for the helpless and for the ungodly. In Romans 5, 8, we read that he died for sinners, and in verse 10, we read that he died for his enemies. It was admirable that day when the husband gave his life for his wife because she was his wife, the mother of his baby girl, and he loved her. I am sure that you have heard of someone, maybe a mother, giving her life to save her child. But Jesus gave his life to save sinners, to save ungodly people, helpless people, and to save his enemies. What love is this, that Jesus would give his life to save such a sinner as myself, such a sinner as yourself? We are all described by the words sinners, ungodly, helpless, and enemies. Why would he do such a thing? In Romans 5:10, we read, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son." He died to reconcile us to God. Then the question comes, why do we need to be reconciled to God? We need to be reconciled to God because we have offended Him. We have broken His law, we have turned our backs on Him, and we have sinned. We may not have all committed the same sins, but we have been like a sheep that went astray. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us are like sheep. We have wandered away from God. All of us have turned to our own way. God cannot just overlook our sin or wink at our sin as if nothing ever happened. God is holy and pure. He is just and righteous. If God didn't punish sin, He would not be good. He would not be holy or just. He would be complicit with sin. For the person who understands this, the words of Romans 5:8 are so precious. And it says, but here is how God has shown His love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How precious were the words of the husband to his wife that day when he said, I will take your place. How much more precious are the words of the Word of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He so loved you, He so loved me that He sent His Son to a cross to take our punishment. God could not overlook our sin, but in loving us, He sent His Son to take our punishment on the cross and pay for our sins. I think in the past I have told the story of two Korean brothers that lived over 200 years ago. The older one became a judge. The younger brother started hanging around with bad people. The older brother tried to talk to him about the bad people he was hanging around with and how he was going to get into trouble with the law one day and he would be punished. The older brother loved his younger brother and wanted him to not get in trouble with the law and to have to suffer for it. Time after time, he pleaded with his younger brother and told him of the trouble he was going to get into if he kept hanging around with these bad people. Time went by, and one day the younger brother was brought before his older brother for a serious crime that he had committed. He was judged, and it was very obvious that he was guilty, and he was declared guilty by his brother, the judge. When the older brother gave the sentence, he sentenced himself. He was going to take his brother's place. He sentenced himself to die on a certain day. The day arrived and he was taken out and executed. The younger brother was freed from the sentence that he so deserved because his older brother had loved him and died for him. He was free, but someone had paid a terrible price to free him. My friend, Jesus paid a terrible price for you and me. The price He paid was death to reconcile us to God. My friend, it's time that you come back to God, that you recognize that you should have been on that cross for your sins, sins that you have committed. It's time to confess your sins to God and to ask Him for forgiveness, to turn back to Him and put your life in His hands and ask Him to save you. Thank Him for sending Jesus to die for you and surrender your life to Him, putting your trust in Him and not in yourself. It's a wonderful thing to die having been forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to die having been reconciled to God and to know that when I close my eyes in death, I will be with Him. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a wonderful thought. To die is gain. To die is gain. My friend, will it be gain for you when you die? It is time for you to come back to the Lord today, to renounce your rebellion and surrender, and to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. There is salvation today. There is forgiveness today. There is a way for man to be reconciled to God. There is a way for man to have the assurance, knowing that when his day comes to die, it will be gain. It will be paradise. It will be to live forever in the very presence of God. My friend, what would it be for you today if today was your last day on this earth and death came for you? Can you say today that it would be gain, or would it be a terrible loss? For God so loved the world, and we can make it personal and say, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son to go to a cross to pay for a penalty that he wasn't guilty of. You and I were guilty. The sentence belonged to us, but God in his mercy and kindness sentenced his son that day so that he might offer you and I mercy and forgiveness and salvation. Jesus satisfied the just demands of the law of God. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go to God and ask him for forgiveness. We can confess our sins to him today, and we can be reconciled to God today. We can say, Lord, I have sinned. Yes, I turned to my own way. I have broken your law. But today I come back to you. Today I put my life in your hands. I ask for you to cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. I ask you to give me eternal life, to give me the assurance that when my day comes, I will be able to say, to die is gain. To die is gain. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Jesus died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died for the weak. He died for the helpless. He died for his enemies. And you and I are in each one of those categories. And today there is a way to return to God, not by my human effort or my good works, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The Word of God tells us clearly that there is salvation in none other, only in the Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus hung on the cross and was punished for our sins, he was placed in a tomb, and he later rose from the dead, demonstrating and showing that God accepted his sacrifice for our sins, demonstrating and showing that he truly was the Son of God, demonstrating that he has power over death, demonstrating that he is who he said he was. My friend, what a wonderful thing to be reconciled to God. What a wonderful thing to be pardoned and to know that I will be in paradise with him forever.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.